Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where little white ball is life. I'm your host, Scotty T, and this is a special episode coming your way today. A little bit slower week in the golf week, so I want to give a shout out to Davis Riley and Nick Carty for winning the Zurich Classic down in New Orleans, the only team event on the PGA Tour schedule. So congratulations to those guys on winning this week. But for this episode, we are doing an interview with Connor Fairway. Connor Fairway is a golf TikToker, up-and-coming YouTuber as well. So we sat down for about 40 minutes or so and just had a really great interview. So you'll get to know Connor a little bit better, as well as how he got started in the content game, his love for golf, how that developed, and how he is merging those two passions together to hopefully become a professional golfer or earn money playing golf, as is the goal for a lot of us out there. So we're really excited for this episode. It's going to be a great one. We hope you enjoy it. Before we dive into the episode, give us a follow on social media at 3 Under Par Pod. That is the number 3 Under Par Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Subscribe, rate, and review. Give us a 5 stars wherever you listen to this podcast, or subscribe to the YouTube channel below. And also comment below with your thoughts, and also go follow Connor. He is an amazing content creator. Again, a phenomenal conversation. Really enjoyed it. So go give Connor a follow so you can follow him on his journey to become a professional golfer. So let's dive into it now. I'm Scotty T, and remember that little white ball is life. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are here with a very special guest. I would say really our first guest since we revamped the podcast here in the last few months. We are joined by Connor Fairway. Connor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. The sun is out. It's spring here up in Kelowna, BC, Canada, where I'm from. And I'm going to be playing some golf today after this podcast. So things really couldn't be getting much better for me.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking up from there, right? But man, I'm really excited to have you on. As I mentioned, kind of first guest here on the 300 Par podcast in a while. So Connor, for our audience here, go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of what you're doing here in the golf content game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate this opportunity to kind of have a bit more of a platform to talk golf on and talk content on. My mission over the next year is to get paid to play golf. I'm sure it's something we've all thought of as golfers. We all want to do it full time. It's just like the best thing in the world. I know we all eat, sleep, breathe golf. We wake up practicing our swings. So it's something that I've been toying with for the last few years, is kind of just taking a year off to play golf. But instead I thought, okay, how can I use my current skill set, which is content creation, and enable myself to actually make a career out of golf and get paid to play golf? So the next year, that's kind of what my main focus is on, is using content creation to get paid to play the best sport in the world.
Oh, that's fantastic. That you're so right, though. That is every person's dream, to get paid to play golf instead of paying to play golf. But, you know, I kind of want to take a step back here. How did you get your start in creating content, and really, how did you fall in love with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a long story, but I will try and summarize it as briefly as I can. So I was working in trades out of high school. My family is very traditionally like kind of blue collar. I grew up on a farm and just thought, I'm going to be an electrician, it'll pay the bills. I worked up north in the oil and gas fields. It did pay really well. I used some of that money to start a clothing company with my friend back home. And through doing that, I really just started learning a lot about marketing and content creation and how to brand. And the creation of content is just so important in today's world. So I started picking up those skills and eventually got myself a job as a social media coordinator where I could kind of like hone them in a little bit more. And from there, I quit that job to become my own like video production company, which I've been doing for the last like 6 or 7 years now.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, pretty unique. I mean, we're based in Houston, Texas, so we know all about oil and gas down here. Sure. Yeah, no, that's awesome. So how did you get introduced to the game of golf? How did you get your start? And then follow up, how have you been able to merge those two passions of yours?
Yeah, so growing up on a farm, I had a bunch of siblings from like a mixed house, so we were always kind of like doing fun shit outside. And I remember at one point, my grandma lived next to a golf course, and she would always just like collect golf balls that were errant tee shots or whatever in the ditch next to her house. And so she gave me a bag of golf balls one day. And I picked up just like a, I forget what it was. It was probably just like an 8-iron or something, just one single iron from a thrift store. And then I went out in our cow pasture with a lawnmower, and I just like mowed a big circle. And then I would hit them from our driveway, like at this circle. And I remember just like having so much fun with it. I would just do that for hours until the sun went down. And I grew up playing hockey, not golf. So hockey was my sport at the time. That was when I was kind of introduced to it, and just as like a fun game pastime. And all of my friends were kind of golfing growing up, but I didn't really get back into it until moving to where I am now. So Kelowna, BC, they call it Kelownafornia, which sounds really cheese, but in the summer, there's a ton of wineries and golf courses here. It really turns into this just like beautiful wine and golf mecca. And so when I moved here, a lot of my buddies were like, yo, we want to come up, but we want to play golf. And so we would book like a 3-day golf weekend, and they'd come up here, and we'd just like, at the time we were a lot younger, just like get hammered, play golf for like 3 days. And after doing that for a couple years, I was like, okay, I don't always want to just like get drunk and play golf. Like I want to just be playing this more regularly. And so like kind of just over the years of living here, got more and more into it. Eventually upgraded from the bag of clubs that I had pieced together at thrift stores over the years to buying my own full set like last year. And then I'd say last year was the first time I was like, okay, I want to just really start taking this seriously and see how much better I can get. So went from probably like a 24 handicap to like a 17. And then I think once you start like really improving at the game, that's when it gets that much more addicting, because you're like, oh, I'm starting to actually see improvements, and I'm starting to see areas where I can continue to improve. So I got really just like, I guess, like my fiance would say, probably for sure obsessed with it. And I just like, I love golf. I mean, I'm sure you can relate. I'm sure the listeners can relate. It's just, once it gets a hold of you, it's hard to not think about.
When you're hooked, right? Yeah. Yeah. Our saying here is little white balls life. And you know, that's true. Cause anytime we get, we're, you know, a lot of us, as we get older, you know, life happens, more responsibilities, but man, anytime we can get to the golf course, we always try to take advantage of that. So
yeah,
I know. Are you a lefty?
I am a lefty. Yes. A lot of people tell me that I'm standing on the wrong side of the ball, but
it's an easy, yeah, it's an easy layup, right? Or a toss up. But you mentioned, I thought that was interesting, kind of piecing together clubs. I guess even being a lefty, has that been a challenge to find clubs that really fit you as you're getting better too? Because when you get better, you want to upgrade accordingly.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm starting to think a little bit more about that now. I don't think I've really been at the point where it's mattered too much until, I'd say probably now, like this year, it's going to start being a little bit more important. When I first picked up my new set, I basically just went into Golf Town here, and I was just like, this is what I'm looking for. What should I order? And they just set me up, and I ordered it online. But I've had a lot of my followers on TikTok comment, like a lot of my lefty followers, lefty gang, appreciate you guys. They've commented that they can't find. So I recently got the 3 set of Kirkland wedges, the lefty wedges. And apparently there's like most of the states, it's impossible to find them. So I know it is difficult, but it hasn't been limiting for me yet.
Nice. Now that's a good find. We got a Costco right up the road here. So yeah, definitely big fan of the Kirkland balls. I would say they're very severely underrated. They play a lot like a Pro V.
Yeah. I'm really happy with the wedges so far. Like they've been awesome for improving the game.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's really interesting. Cause I get texts from buddies all the time. Hey, what kind of club should I get or whatnot? So that's, you know, the club discussion is always a fun one. If we want to dive into that a little bit more later, but you know, you kind of mentioned TikTok there. That's where you got your start, right?
Yeah,
really people kind of got that, kind of heard of you and where you really gained momentum.
Yeah, so I would say TikTok is my biggest tool for organic growth, and it's really a tool that everybody has access to for organic growth. And I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's insane not to be utilizing it. Just the way that their algorithm is set up, if you have a niche topic that you're focusing on, and that is the one thing that you're continually doing and bringing that value, you're going to be rewarded for it. And like, you're going to be able to find that audience. It's just like an insane algorithm. So I started on TikTok more just out of kind of just like a fun hobby thing that I was just like, I'm just going to start shooting some of my rounds so I can show like my improvement on there. And just posting TikToks, obviously I have the video production background, but I just started doing them on my phone. And the first few videos that I got weren't really, I didn't put too much thought into them, but I noticed that when I did put a little bit more thought into them, they grew a lot quicker. And so after kind of like throwing the occasional video out once every 2 weeks or so, really just in the last 2 months, I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit down and I'm just gonna take this really seriously. And I'm gonna start creating content like every day if I can. And now I'm posting and like consistently getting like 300,000-500,000 views on my videos when I post them, and just really reaching the audience that I need to reach and starting to kind of like build out more of a brand around that. So like now trying to go with more of a long form on YouTube and Instagram, and eventually just like really create a media brand around it.
Right. No, that's really interesting. Yeah. Cause kind of keeping up with media, I mean, TikTok has really changed the game for every social media platform. So, how do you cater your content to the different platforms? Because I feel like it's a lot more seamless now, at least with the vertical content, right? YouTube's more horizontal, or always has been. But you know, how has that changed, or how do you cater your content to the different platforms, if at all?
Yeah, I've played around a lot with on this channel and other channels that I've worked on with shooting like vertical versus horizontal. But what I'm doing right now that I find works really well is shooting everything horizontal in HD on, like, we have cinema cameras because we're a production agency, but like you can do that on your phone as well. So shooting like that for the long form and then cutting the short form out of it. A lot of the time there's short form that I already have mapped out and planned out, but sometimes like in a podcast like this, you'll just find little bits of short form content that you can kind of pull out of it. So I'd say right now, TikTok is always my like first focus, just for getting that viewership and building an audience. And I would say the most important thing for me when I'm thinking about TikTok, really thinking about like any kind of short form storytelling at all, is just what value are you offering and how can you let the audience, make sure the audience is aware of that in the shortest amount of time possible. So like your hook. So I kind of always run it through two different like value props, which is education and entertainment. Is it educational or is it entertaining or is it both? Ideally it's both. And then you try to summarize what you're going to be what value you're going to be offering in the shortest amount of time possible. And that's your hook. So once you get really good with hooks and people know why they're sticking around and watching, that's when your content just starts improving. So there's definitely like a method to storytelling. And in the other side of my life with the content creation and my creative agency, like that's what I'm usually doing, is like teaching clients the kind of art of storytelling and how to show up in a way that people actually want to listen to and people actually care about.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, you came across my For You page on TikTok. Love that algorithm. And man, I found your content super engaging. The hook was there. It was really your video with the Olympian. You just asked like a random person to play golf. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a format on TikTok that people just love. I don't know what it is. I think it's like this weird like sense of voyeurism or something. People just want a glimpse into somebody else's life. So whenever you can involve a stranger, and just there's like this level of tension there because you don't fully know what's going to happen. And right. So there's a couple people that do it. There's a, I think his name's Caleb Simpson, is probably one that like most people have seen. He's the guy who goes and asks how much people pay for rent where they live, and then he'll do a quick tour of their apartment. So it's just like, that's just one of those formats that works really well that I wanted to see if it would kind of also equate to the golf world. The first video that I did that really popped off with a similar format, I actually just like obviously planned out, but then did that as the hook. So it was asking a stranger what the like their favorite hole of golf ever was. And so I just had my business partner's dad actually, him and I were talking about it. I was like, well, can you be in this first video I'm going to do and just pretend to be a stranger? And so I went and asked him, and then it was, I had a trip to Hawaii planned already, and he had this hole that he was talking about playing there. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to make a video about this and pose it as if I just asked somebody where their favorite hole was. It was Hawaii. And then I flew there on a whim. So that video did really well. And it's funny because like most people know, like, okay, obviously this is staged, I'd say like 50% of people know it's staged. The other 50% just think it's like insane and like I have way too much free time and money on my hands, which I definitely don't. But regardless, it's just entertaining. At the end of the day, as long as like I can entertain somebody, leave a smile on their face, make them feel good about something, I know I've done my job. And like however we get there, it doesn't matter as much to me. It's just like making sure that I'm entertaining people. And at the end of the day, my main goal is to just inspire people.
I mean, I'm getting inspired right now talking about it. I think, yeah, to your point though, like podcasts are probably more long form, which in a weird way, YouTube, you know, is investing so much money into YouTube Shorts, but also the long form content's really making a comeback, I feel like. So yeah, it's an interesting dichotomy. Even just adding the podcast tab on YouTube, it's a very interesting time at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, I would love to try to clip my podcast out a little bit more. I think I'll have some time for this one to really promote it. But yeah, because to your point, it does take time and resources, whether it be mental resources or whatnot. But it's definitely a really good strategy if somebody really commits to it. Because I thought that was interesting. Like you said, you really like in the last 10 months, you focused on it and you've seen the results of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I mean, with you as well, I mean, you have a lot going on, but you're still making the time to run this podcast, which is like, you got to put the effort into the things that you want to do. And it all just comes down to time management, really. I'm also training for an Ironman right now. This is like the first time in my life in any kind of event like that. I've never done any triathlon. So like, I have to also train for like an hour and a half or 2 hours a day, and then find the time to practice golfing for like at least an hour a day if I can, making content, full-time job, and then still trying to have like a balanced home life. So it's like time management has become very, very, very important for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, going back to the golf portion a little bit, as you said, your goal is to get paid to play golf, be a professional golfer, I think is the ultimate goal, right? How's that journey going so far?
Yeah, so the goal, the overarching goal and like the package that I'm kind of selling is watch me become a professional golfer. I obviously know how challenging it is to become a professional golfer. And I know the years of dedication that it takes to like, especially if we're talking about getting on tour, I'm just talking about getting a pro card, but like it's years and years and it's like a lifelong commitment. But for me, I just want to have that as a goal, because I don't believe in setting goals that feel like they're attainable. I want something to feel super far-fetched, because then I'm going to work as hard as I can to get there. And I know I'm going to get somewhere that I never would have imagined. If I say, okay, this year I'm going to get to a 12 handicap, I'd be really happy at the end of the year to do that. But like, I know I can't. I want to do something that I think feels really impossible. And I think a lot of people just share that dream of like playing professional golf. And so that was my goal. And I knew if I set that goal, I would do the things that it takes to reach it. So getting a professional swing coach, having like a really solid membership at one of the great courses here, one of the challenging courses here. And so far, I mean, I'm only like, I think I'm like 3 weeks into it now, but I had my first professional lesson and I played my first teaching round with my coach, and I've just learned so much in the last 3 weeks, and it's been challenging, because I think initially when you start like really learning, there's a little bit of like a lot of discomfort, because I'm changing my setup. I'm learning more about my swing. Like it feels awkward, and I felt like I was getting to a place where I was feeling good about how I was golfing. And now I'm kind of just like making adjustments that will be better, like fundamentally, foundationally for the long run. But right now it's a little bit uncomfortable. So I kind of really just have to like check my ego every day and be like, I know I'm going to be a bit shit right now, but in the long run, it's going to be worth it, because eventually like I'm building a better foundation to be a better golfer. So I think in the next like few months, I'm really going to start like seeing those changes, and like those dividends are going to be paying, and I will really start improving.
100%. I mean, the changes that you're making right now, especially if it's a big swing change, it might take 4 or 5 months in order to really be comfortable with it. Just be careful of the overcompensation, because that's something I'm guilty of. It's like if I'm working on a setup, then I start feeling like I start overcompensating. It's like, oh, now I got to go backwards. But that's a side point. But I love what you said, how you got a coach. How important has that been in your initial start there? Because I always tell people, try to get the right clubs if you can get fitted. And then also, go get lessons, because you don't know what you don't know. And especially if you're early on, you want to develop good habits early.
Yeah. I mean, it's been everything to me. Like, I was just lucky enough that I've been considering getting a coach for a while. I was lucky that he reached out on social media again, just like saw me on TikTok. And he's a local here who's running the academy at Tower Ranch, which is one of the amazing golf courses we have here. And so he basically just reached out and was like, I love what you're doing. I think I can help you a lot in getting there. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. So we met up, kind of came up with a bit of a game plan. He's looking to start producing a little bit more content as well, so I can help him there. He can help me with my swing. But he's just taught me so many fundamentals. He's just like a book of wisdom. He's been playing golf like his entire life, played on amateur tours, and he's been a teaching professional ever since. So like, he just has a lot of experience and just a ton of knowledge. And it's exactly like you said, you don't know what you don't know. So immediately he was able to kind of make small calculation or corrections that will eventually build up to like just a better swing and a better golfer. But his method has very much been like, take it really small steps, one thing at a time. So it's not like you're completely starting over from scratch. And it's really been amazing to have somebody to just be bouncing ideas off of and just helping me get better. So like, anytime I'm out practicing or like I have around, like I'm messaging him, I'm like giving him updates, I'm telling him how I'm doing. And he's just like amazing to work with. So it's giving me the most confidence in my golf game, is knowing that I have somebody that's there to support me and help me do what I need to do.
Yeah. Your advocate, the guy is always in your corner, right?
Yeah. And he wants me to say just as much as I do, maybe more than I do. Like, he was like, that goal's insane, but like, I'm all on board to help you get as far as you can. Like, let's see how far we can take this thing. Let's try and get you your pro card. And I was like, okay, this is the type of person I need in my court. Who's like, he didn't come in and sit me down and say, it's time to set some realistic expectations. Like, we might take a couple straight. He wasn't like that at all. He's like, whatever you want, we're going to work as hard as we can and try and get there. And I was like, you're the type of person that I want around me. So
I think there's a trending sound going on right now on TikTok. And it's like, what's the best advice you ever got? Person responds with, what if it turns out better than you expected? I love that, because that's very much what you're talking about reminds me of that. It's really good. It's a good life lesson too. It's the times I've been most fulfilled in life. It's when I've been most uncomfortable as well. So yeah, that's really great.
I love that. What's
been the biggest, challenge or learning curve, or like even like a weird rule you're like, I didn't know about that. What's been something you've learned so far?
Honestly, like, I would say the biggest challenge has been just internal. It's been an internal battle to, like, you doubt, right? Everybody does. It's scary putting yourself out there and just saying like, this is this big, massive goal that I have. And especially on social media, like, I've been online in a lot of different ways and putting myself out there for the last 5 years. So I have pretty thick skin now. And like, I understand where certain comments are coming from. But it's still when you have people who are just like telling you that you can't do things and like, making fun of your attempts at trying, every once in a while you kind of like question, you're like, are these people right? And then you kind of just have to like take a step back, just be like, that's them, they're just projecting their own beliefs. You got to be confident in what you're doing and trust yourself. And so I think that comes into play when, like, sure, I'm getting lessons right now and I'm learning and improving, but like, that comes with having like some really terrible rounds right now and like some unfortunate swings, like changing the setup, I'm just not as confident. And so then when you go out and like you're expecting to be getting better and you've gotten worse, then you really start questioning like, oh, are these people right? Like, should I even be trying this? Is this crazy? But you kind of just have to trust the process. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just like, trust the process. I've done lots of different challenges in my life that I didn't think I'd be able to accomplish, and I got there at the end of the day. So it's just like going with the flow and kind of trusting it.
Yeah. It's so interesting, because I feel like it's your situation's in reverse. A lot of people are very skilled in what they do, but are afraid to put it out there online. You're confident in putting yourself online, but you're doing something that you're not necessarily as skilled in. So it's a little reverse, a little ironic in that way, right?
Yeah. But I love being bad at things. Like, I just know that that means that there's so much room for improvement, you know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So, I mean, you mentioned you got your production company, you're learning to play golf, training for a triathlon. How do you balance in everything? Like, we're touching on time management. Like, have you been able to integrate your practicing and the time it takes to, you know, it takes time to put all that content together with all your special effects and everything?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still working on finding that balance. It's like a ever evolving thing. Luckily, like, I just have a really awesome support system around me. Like, my fiance is super supportive of this. She's just like, go for it. I trust you. Like, I know you can do this, which is awesome, because now she can't tell me I'm golfing too much because it's like my job. So that's a huge win. My business partner, I mean, we've really just like, we've kind of set ourselves up in a position where we have a little bit of that flexibility. A big part of what we do in our business is teaching people content creation as well. So like, there's like a consulting element to that. But basically, because we've been doing this so much for the last 5 years, like, we've just gotten really fast at the content creation side. So my business partner, Glenn, will come out and shoot with me, and then we'll kind of like work on some concepts together sometimes. Sometimes I'll come to him with concepts, but everything's already mapped out and ready to go. So we'll shoot it, and then I can just jump into the edit. And I've done it so many times that I'm just like fast with the edits now. But at the end of the day, it's come down to creating habits and like kind of just like having a structure that I stick to. So like, I should show you, I've got like this habit tracker for every day, and it's just like, it starts at 5 a.m. Like, I wake up at 5 a.m. and I have gotten in the habit of going to bed at like 8:30, which sounds super lame.
I love it. But
in order to like achieve the things that I want to achieve, I just like have to set myself like really strict schedule and time blocks. So that's really just been the thing, is like building habits and building discipline. And there's so much more time in the day than people think there is. It just feels overwhelming when you think about everything at once.
Yeah, it's like that old adage, discipline equals freedom, right? I don't know if you've heard of Jocko Willink. That's his big adage, is discipline equals freedom. But
yeah,
no, that's, man, I love that. That's so cool. Yeah, so you kind of touched on it too. Whenever you go out and shoot, like a round of golf or nine holes, even a hole or two, you have it all mapped out, kind of what's an idea of what you're going, because there's that element of unpredictability, right? Hey, oh, I actually snap hooked it in hazard or something like
that. Yeah, actually. So like the last round that we went out, for example, it evolves on the fly. So last round I went out and I was like, okay, there's this executive course here. And I was like, last year I shot a 38 there. It was my best round of the season on nine holes. Like, let's see if I can beat that now that I've had this professional lesson. And so my business partner, Glenn, came out and shot with me, and right off the tee box, man, it was so brutal. There's this group of guys who were supposed to be out before us, but they were waiting on their buddy. So like, oh, just play through. And I've got my videographer and business partner, Glenn, who's like out there with this massive cinema camera. He's got headphones on. I'm like mic'd up. It looks like we're shooting like a movie out there. And I'm getting up to the tee box, and I'm like already not even confident in this new swing, but now I've got a gallery of people behind watching me, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, I do my intro. I'm like, all right, we're going to see if we can beat last year's record. And then I'm like, I ended up being like five off the tee box, because I like completely, I just duffed the ball twice in a row. And so it was really in that sense, just like pivoting and having Glenn there, he was kind of just like, okay, so we're not going for the course record anymore. Like, let's kind of like reset and see what we can do with this. And from that, it shifted from, okay, we're out here shooting this course record thing, to how can we just create more content? So like the next hole, he was like, let's do a challenge. Like, if you can make par on this, or if you make a birdie on this, I'll buy you a rangefinder. And if you make par, I'll buy you a new glove. And so like coming up with things like that on the go is really helpful, having somebody like that there to assist with. So sure, there's a plan. Traditionally, like typically we have a plan going into it. A lot of the time that goes out the window, and you have to be like flexible on the fly and just like be okay with whatever happens. And again, just like trusting the process.
Right. No, that's such a good story. Like, it's so funny. You just put like four people around that you don't know. It's like, I forget how to play golf. I don't know what happened.
It's like expectation you build of yourself in your head too. It's like, these people obviously think I'm going to be really good with that when I have like this camera here. And so you just put all of that pressure on yourself, and then it's just like, sometimes you just blow up. So
yeah, hey, it happens. That's golf, right? There's a reason why it's a four-letter word.
Yeah,
but So what are your future plans with your content? You know, you said you committed to this for the next year. Is it like, hey, let's get to that year point and then reevaluate? Or what are your plans with your different channels and content?
Yeah, so this is going to be my main focus for the next year. Like I said, we're still running the production company. So like that is the like our job right now, but it's that's pretty balanced. So I'm trying to, my real long-term goal for this year is to find a title sponsor who can say, we believe in this project. We believe in your vision. You're getting a ton of viewership online and we want to be a part of that. And like, we trust this journey. So my goal is to pitch to a large scale like title sponsor. Ideally, I want somebody like Callaway just because like I play their clubs. I love the brand. But who knows? Club. Like, who knows where that'll come from and how that'll come in. So I'm avoiding doing any kind of like smaller partnerships where it's just like kind of paid per piece of content promotion type stuff. I don't really want to, I want to just focus on the content right now. And the goal being, once I can find that partnership and it works out, just really shifting into full time, like all I'm focusing on is the game and like improving my game and seeing how much better I can get and making content. And so I think for me right now, it's just like a see where that goes in the next year and reevaluate at the end of that year. So like I was mentioning to you earlier, I'm not gonna be able to play golf here in the winter because we're seasonal, like we get a foot of snow here. It's gonna be all the courses closed. So like come November, December, I want to make a trip south and be south like 3 months of the year so I can continue playing golf and like getting better and continue creating content because I don't want to be in a simulator for like 6 months. So the goal is really just, yeah, see what happens after a year, see who I can get on board and see how big I can grow this brand.
So I've noticed that a lot of big golf companies are sponsoring a lot of golf content creators, whether it be Foreplay at Barstool or No Laying Up, good, like they're, so I feel like a lot of golf manufacturers and, you know, whether it be apparel brands or whoever it is, they're really seeing a lot of value in like the golf YouTube community. So that's gotta be pretty encouraging, I would think.
100%. It's funny. Cause like before I even did this challenge, I actually made a video on like our production company's YouTube about that, about getting paid to do your hobbies, which I genuinely believe anybody can do. If you can learn how to create content, you can find a way to get paid to play golf, to ride your bike, whatever it is you're doing. If you can offer value through content creation, you can get paid to do your hobbies. So I was talking about that a couple months ago because Tacoma, which is a whole another interesting brand as well, they sponsored a lot of like the up and coming content creators. And I feel like they were like the first wave of like this golf influencer marketing. And now, yeah, you're seeing it all over the place. Like St. Andreas just went and played with Bridgestone and like was shooting content with Tiger. Like it's just, it is really cool to see how quickly it's growing. And I just think that there's still so much room in the space. Like everybody has their own vibe and like their own story that they're trying to tell. So I think the world of golf content creation and broader than that, just content creation in general, there's just so much opportunity. Like it's a bit of a gold rush right now if you want to learn how to create content. I think it's like the highest ticket skill you can learn.
That's so true. You know, I've, at least because I'm in the right on the edge of the millennial age. So I'm 30. So there's a lot of people my age that are like, think that, man, I should have gotten into this 5 years ago or something. But I, to your point, I think the opportunity is 100% still there.
That's like the easiest excuse, and it doesn't feel like an excuse to you, but it's at the end of the day, it is, because if you are committed to something, just start. And like in 5 years, you'll look back and be like, holy shit, imagine starting now. Like, I'm glad I started when I did, because the progress that you make is like what I've been able to do. I've blown myself away in just like 2 months of working at this. So I know that if I give it another year, it's going to be like, I won't even be able to believe.
Man, and we're going to look back and be like, hey, we got him on. You're a friend of the pod now. You're a friend of the pod. So
I would love to. I'll come back on in a year and we'll do an update.
I love that. That's fantastic. Well, Connor Fairway, before we get out of here, why don't you give some rapid fire questions here? You know, kind of, you know, let's, yeah, you know, they're always fun. So you kind of mentioned earlier, piecing the bag together still, whatnot. What's your favorite club in the bag?
Right now, 5 Hybrid. In my last lesson, I don't know what it was. He's like, we need to get you a fairway finder. And for some reason, ever since then, it's just been so deadly straight, so consistent. And I just love the way it feels when you just like absolutely flush it. It's just the best sound and just absolute missiles lately.
I love that. How far does your stock 7-iron go?
Stock 7, I want to say 183, roughly.
Oh, wow, man. That's no joke. That's longer than my 7-iron, I'll tell you that. So,
okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll have to prove it for you. I'll have to go out and hit a couple and see.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do y'all play up in meters or yards?
Yards.
Yards, okay. Yeah, one of my teammates in college, she was from Italy, and or we had a few guys from Europe, and they always played in meters. So I kind of learned how to play in meters in a weird way. But
it's weird because like we've half adopted the metric system, but sometimes we're still on standard because we're your guys' neighbors. So it's a bit strange up here.
Yeah. What is your go-to beverage on the course?
Oh man, again, because I'm training right now, super, super lame, but water. But when I'm training, like I have a golf trip coming up this summer, I'd say probably Modelo. I love a good Modelo.
All right, very good. Modelo, that's my go-to is the Transfusion. I don't know if you've had one of those yet.
Oh, I've heard a lot of people talking about it, but I haven't had one yet.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a grape juice, vodka, ginger ale with a splash of grape juice, I think, and a lime. Okay. It's just so refreshing, man. It's so refreshing. It hits different.
Sounds awesome. Amazing. And if there's a birdie putt, if birdies happen, shot a fireball every time.
My man, I knew we were getting along great. That's we went on a bachelor party last year in Scottsdale. You know, if you go to the liquor stores here, they have like the big party buckets. We just like got a couple of those and are just passing them out. We call them Tic Tacs because they're just, it tastes like a Tic Tac after a while.
Super easy. Yeah. I love that.
So non-golf related question. What's your favorite pizza topping?
Oh, my favorite pizza topping. Oh, wow. That's a more challenging question than I was expecting. Can you just say cheese? Like, can I say cheese?
That works for me.
It can't really be pizza without cheese, I don't think.
It is like the topping, right?
Like the one topping you kind of need on a pizza.
Right. Oh, that's so true. What are some TV shows that you're watching right now?
I just watched Daisy Jones and the Six. I don't know if you are familiar with that one. It's really good. It's on Crave. It was kind of like loosely based on Fleetwood Mac, their era. So they did some really cool like original music and stuff for it. Other than that, that was the only real one I've been watching lately. I think that's it.
There you go. Well, that's awesome. Connor, what are some plugs? Where can people find you or any of the plugs you want to make here before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking to build like a real following and like a loyal audience that I can connect with. So ideally, I'm trying to do that on YouTube. So just Connor Fairway on YouTube. Go subscribe. And if you leave a comment, I will make sure that I get back to you.
Fantastic. I'll put the links in the description below as well. And before I post this, I'll do maybe a quick intro video saying, hey, you know, these are the intros. So I get that at the beginning as well as the end. But Connor, what's the hat? What's the...
Oh, man. So on my trip to Hawaii, I went to, it's in Kuku, it's a beer garden in Kuku, and I just thought this hat was so sick. And it's one of those like superstitious things. Like now it's like my golf hat. It's like this is my look. It's like the guy with the Kuku beer hat. So I don't know. I feel like now I've kind of created a brand with like this general look. I know eventually I'll probably have to switch that up, but I like the way it looks. I like the way it feels, and I feel like it's got some special sauce to it.
There you go. Hey, you look good, feel good, play good.
I love
it. That's what we say. Yeah, man. Well, thank you so much again for jumping on here. This has been so much fun. Everybody go follow Connor on his journey from, you said 24 handicap? A couple
17.4 right now.
Okay. But you started off as a 24. Now you're down to a 17?
Like last year it was closer to that. I got it down last year.
that's still a really big improvement. And it's, you know, that I always say the faster that you can turn those big numbers into a bogey, the fastest way you can turn a triple to a bogey or double to a bogey, that's the best way to shave shots there. So, man, well, 100%. I'll definitely be following along and excited to keep up with your journey.
Amazing. Thank you so much.